Joining us now on the line, our friend, we haven't talked to him in a while, Sportsnet Hockey Insider from the Calgary Sun, Mr. Eric Francis. Good morning, Eric.
How are you, lads?
Super. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. We're dreaming big here in Calgary right now.
You are dreaming big. This kind of came out of left field, $900 million plan to build an arena for the Calgary Flames and a new stadium for the Calgary Stampeders. How is this news being perceived right now in Calgary? Because the city might have to foot some of the bill.
It's, you know, you're going to have your naysayers, of course, right out of the blocks, and you're going to have your diehard Flames fans who don't care how much it costs. They want a shiny new building or two. But it doesn't come out of left field. I will say this was their first unveiling. There have been rumors and reports for the last year over where this was going to go. People knew that it was going to be in the west end of downtown. But I don't think none of us knew what the price tag was going to be or what the public ask was going to be. And when they broke it all down yesterday, there were audible gasps around the city as people said, wow, that's pretty ambitious. So it's an $890 million complex. It would literally be the envy of the sports world. I mean, nothing like this in North America has ever been put together before, where you'd have basically a football stadium and a hockey arena all under one roof. And included in that would be a field house, which would, you know, house all sorts of amateur athletics. And, you know, it's big vision, but this is a city that was built on huge entrepreneurial spirit and a real can-do attitude. I mean, they landed the Winter Olympics when this was just a little hillbilly town back in 1988, and there's some tremendous legacies in terms of buildings here still from those games. So people remember that. People are proud of that. And that's the only reason why this has a shot at ever becoming a reality, because this city thinks big, has big money behind it, and the owners are bucking up a considerable amount.
You know, Erica, obviously anything like this would get gasped, just like building a new house. You gasp about certain things, but ultimately quite often look back, and not that it's a bargain, but well worth the value. So I think of years ago, it's funny how people target what the government should kick in, and there was a soccer thing or something, and it was going to cost $1 billion, $10 million or something, and they had the $10 million, the government just had to kick in the $1 billion, say, you know, something like that. So when they articulated the plan yesterday, once the gasps happened, did it seem like there was an element of fairness and plausibility?
It again, it depends on who you look at, right? You're going to be your staunch, supporters, you know, your Flames season ticket holders who were briefed about this yesterday too, and they of course loved it. They're going to carry the bulk of the cost on this, to be honest. I mean, a ticket tax. So basically, to break it down for your listeners, like a quarter of it would come from the Flames owners. They've pledged to pay $200 million of their own money for a building that will be owned by the city. You know, they'll get all the revenues from it. The Flames owners would, of course, but they're willing to give $200 million of their own money. A quarter of it would also come from a ticket tax. So those people who go to the concerts, the games, they would all pay, you know, 10% on every ticket they pay for the rest of their life. That would go towards building this thing. A quarter billion would come from a community revitalization levy, which is basically all the building that would go on around it. And we know that these buildings attract other buildings and businesses. So that would come from a levy there. And then here's the big sticking point is $200 million from the city, which, you know, on an ambitious project like this doesn't really seem like a ton of money to me, but not that I have it in my pocket, but $200 million is what the city had long ago pegged for a field house they wanted to build to get, you know, Calgarians more and more active. So it's listed as a priority with the city to build this field house one day. But as the mayor poured cold water on the whole thing yesterday and said, hey, this is great and good on the Flames owners for being visionary and wanting to do this, but, you know, we don't have $200 million right now at all. So the big sticking point in all this, guys, and where this whole thing could die is the fact that the land they want to put it on is on it's on tainted soil. It used to be an old creosote factory where they would coat railway ties and telephone poles with this chemical, and the chemical has seeped into the ground and is actually now under the river as well. And the province, the federal government, and the municipal government here all want nothing to do with a cleanup, which will probably cost several hundred million dollars. So, you know, all levels of government are pointing at each other saying, you clean it up. No, you clean it up. No, it's not our problem. You clean it up. So unless this gets figured out, that site will actually never be cleaned up, and it will just be a dead area of the city. So this could be the catalyst to clean that up, which would be one of the many benefits of getting a project like this going.
Sports and hockey analyst Eric Francis joining us here on Dean Blundell and Company, Gord Stellick and George Russick. Eric, does it help or hurt the Calgary bid that Edmonton's building a new arena?
I think it helps. That's a great point because, you know, people in this city see, you know, there's a huge rivalry, obviously, between these two cities. And for people in this city to see that a little blue-collar town just up the street from us can build this thing, yet we can't get it done. There's envy there, and that works in the favor of the Flames owners and this city in terms of getting this thing done. Now, it's also important to note that the province didn't put much money into that project over there at all. Province is basically saying they're not putting any money into this one as well. Edmonton got theirs going because it was a part of downtown that was really derelict and needed to be revitalized. So that's why the city jumped up big time in Edmonton. You can't use the same argument in Calgary. This is not an area that's derelict or undeveloped. Other than that little parkland area, basically, that needs to be remediated and the soil needs to be cleaned up. This is, you know, there's car dealerships there and there's all sorts of other stuff there. So it's a tremendous uphill battle. That best case scenario, they would cut the ribbon on this thing in 5 years. I think more likely if this was ever to happen, it would be more like 10 years from now.
Big picture, and not trying to be gloom and doom, but it wasn't so much Calgary, but more Edmonton and Ottawa years ago, but that the Canadian-American dollar situation, which I know everything's great now, the NHL's kicking butt and everyone's loving it, but do you see that maybe coming into play adversely if it carries on too long for certain Canadian franchises? I mean, let's face it, we know the economics. You're going to take a bit of a hit, but I mean more like it was, what, 10 or so years ago?
I don't know. I think that, you know, in Canada, the game is so popular and, you know, there's waiting lists for season tickets in most of the Canadian cities that I still think that the lifeblood of each organization, being the fan base, is still there. And I still think that, you know, with the cap moving up and down based largely on revenues around the league, I don't think that it's going to, that the Canadian teams will take too big of a hit. Yeah, obviously their bottom line will be affected. They won't make as much money. But certainly out west, I can speak to out west. It's not going to, that certainly won't play a role in this whole situation. The owners have pledged $200 million. They have that money. Almost all of them are billionaires. So I don't think the American dollar is a bad thing in terms of how this arena deal plays out. Certainly it'll affect the bottom lines for teams around the league, but not to the detriment of a building.
Hockey-related question. It is surprising there's guys like Cody Franson and Christian Ehrhoff that are still out there as unrestricted free agents. One name was kicked around about a week or two ago, and Devin Setoguchi. And I just wonder, on the ice, it has kind of been a non-starter for him the last couple of years. But think, you know, he brings everyone seems to think veterans bring a veteran positive influence in the dressing room, which I have no idea if he would or wouldn't. But what is a Devin Setoguchi if you're considering him in 2015?
Devin Setoguchi will never play in the National Hockey League again. He was an experiment that the Calgary Flames tried out last year, and it was a colossal failure. I mean, yeah, he was sent down pretty early on in the season, and he'll never, ever play in the National Hockey League again. I mean, he's a nice kid. But conditioning is a real question with him. And when you're a veteran who's, Lord, you're going to have to remind me of how old he is, but I think he's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
And he certainly had some good years way back when. But, you know, he shows up here and all he talked about was how he'd really made some lifestyle changes. It was really, you know, working hard at getting into shape. When you're in your 30s and you're making your first comments basically about getting into shape and realizing that that's important for your career, you've made some grave errors. So work ethic's a big issue with Devin Setoguchi, and I don't mean to slam the kid too much, but there's no chance he'll ever play in the NHL again.